take your Bibles tonight, and we want to turn to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. And as you're turning there, I would be very foolish not to take just a brief opportunity to say thank you to this great church. Thank you to Pastor and Brother Ben and the other staff members here, Brother Jim and others who are serving here. So thankful for the privilege we have to join forces with these men and you folks and the wonderful congregation here at this church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. You know, it's wonderful to come to the great state of Michigan and know we have friends, I have pastors that I can fellowship with and minister. Pastor, thank you for inviting us. We would not be here if you had not invited us. Thank you so much for your friendship and faithfulness, and I mean that. You have a great pastor. I hope you realize that. God has blessed you with wonderful people serving here in this place, and don't forget that he is preparing to preach on Sunday. So, if you are a member here at the church, you ought to be faithful on Sunday. If you're a visitor here tonight, I do know a good church in this area. And it's right here. And I know that all that Pastor Dwight does is he opens the Bible and tells you what the Bible says. He teaches systematically through the Bible. And I know that would be a great blessing to you if you would come. There's a Sunday school time on Sunday morning, and then a worship time, and then a Sunday evening service. And I hope that all of you will be faithful to be in God's house on Sunday. You know, sometimes people think, well, I kind of gave enough service time through the week of meetings, and maybe I can rest on the Lord's Day. But remember, it's the Lord's Day. Be faithful. Do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. Now, when you come in on Sunday, you're going to still see the trailers over there, okay? But don't worry, Pastor is preaching. I know, if I know anything about preachers, when they sit under the preaching, they are getting geared up. He's probably all fired up. He's ready to go. Now, we will be actually ministering over at First Baptist Church of Troy, and so just a few miles away, but we're going to leave our trailers parked here and live in our trailers here. Any of you know the church over there, they have a Christian school as well, and lots of traffic in and out of that parking lot. This is much quieter over here, and so we're going to take the opportunity to stay over here and minister over there next week. But sincerely, thank you so much for your kind words, for your support of our ministry. Many of you have honored us and helped us this week by providing food for us. If you did, would you just raise your hand? We want to honor you if you helped provide some of our food this week. Thank you very much. We're all fed up. Thank you so much. And actually, we were telling someone even tonight that we had so much food, we didn't even know there was another meal waiting for us in the refrigerator. And so we are going to actually enjoy that one even tomorrow. And so, wow, it's just, you guys have just overwhelmed us with your kindness and hospitality. And we are enjoying not only being parked out there, but utilizing this facility. My children are doing their homeschooling in here. And so your church has really just laid out the red carpet for us, and we really appreciate that so much. We are just servants of the Lord, but the Bible says if you give a cup of cold water in his name, you have not done it for us, you have done it for the Lord. And I just want you to know you have served the Lord by serving us this week. Thank you so much. And we will look forward to any time we can be back. And I'm sure that we'll be talking with Pastor maybe sometime in the near future, or maybe it's going to be a long time. Last time it was 4 years before we came back. But we always look forward to ministering with you folks. Thank you for your kindness. I look forward to talking to you afterwards, and especially those of you that are guests as well. I'd love to meet you. We have prayer cards available for our ministry on the table, right in the middle of the table. Those are totally free. We also have lots of music CDs available back there. And we also had the Pony Express arrive today, and so we have lots of new stuff on the table. That was not there the rest of the week. Some devotional books and some new items from the Wilds Christian Camp. And so if you're interested, just stop by and take a look, and we'll be glad to help you afterwards. We also have a Facebook page you can follow. We also have all of our music on iTunes and Google and those kinds of places. If you're interested in our ministry, just type in Google. And be careful. Just put in Herbster Ministries. You might find some bad things. I hope not. But you're going to find mostly lots of good things about the Herbster Evangelistic Team. Hope it'll be a blessing to you as you continue to follow our ministry. But the most important thing tonight is what we're going to do next, and that is look to the Word of God, which is our source of truth. God has given to us his revelation. And here in Romans chapter 1, there is an important text that reminds us of the benefit of God's love to us through means of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so tonight the message is all about the gospel. Romans 1 verse 16. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed." Paul is writing the book of Romans here. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So he brings to us the theme of the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? We hear this word a lot, and even for some of you who are visitors here tonight, you've probably heard somebody ask you about, do you believe the gospel? What does the gospel mean? What does that word mean? The actual term gospel that we read here means good news. Now, be honest tonight, how many of you like to get good news? If you do, raise your hand with me. All right, aren't you tired of hearing all the bad news? I mean, even when you turn on fair and balanced Fox News, right? Depending on who you like to watch. Even on Fox News, you don't hear a lot of good news. Seems like every station and every news broadcast is bringing to us all of the terrible things that are happening in the world. You know, as I was researching this a little bit, I actually came across a network that only shares good stories. It's actually an online network. Check it out sometime. It's called the goodnewsnetwork.org. Check it out sometime. The goodnewsnetwork.org is consumed with finding all of the good stories that happen around the world that usually don't make the ratings on the national broadcast, but they need to be propagated. They need to be told to other people. You know what I think? I think we ought to have a full-time cable news channel devoted to good news. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, that the greatest news is not the heroism of our military. It's not the humanitarianism of people who sacrifice for other people, though those are really good stories. The greatest news in all the world can simply be stated in this one word, gospel. And that is the fact that God has not left us in our sin, but God has provided a way for us to be forgiven. You can be free from sin. You can be free from guilt. You can be free from the penalty of death, which God says it belongs to every sinner. But God has provided this through his plan of salvation, which we call the gospel. That's why it's called good news. Wouldn't you agree with me? It's good news that you can be rescued, that you can be forgiven. And so Paul tells us here that he is not ashamed of the gospel. And as a preacher, I'm not an apostle because there are no apostles living today. An apostle had to see the resurrected Christ. There are preachers today. As a preacher, I would like to say a little bit like the apostle said. In the previous verse, he says, "I am ready to preach the gospel." And I would say to you that I am unashamed to tell you tonight this really good news. And I'm going to share with you the good news by sharing with you simply four aspects of the good news, four aspects of the gospel that I believe are revealed to us in this one verse. Notice what the Bible says in verse 16 again, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," notice this word, "of Christ." The word "of," it's a very simple word. Notice it again, "for it is the power of God." Now, often in our English, we kind of quickly go over the word "of." But in this text, the word "of" reveals to us the first aspect of the gospel. And this is so crucial to understand. Number one, the source of the gospel. The source of the gospel. You know, the source of something is very important. Is there anybody in here who has ever been to Yellowstone National Park? Anybody ever been to Yellowstone National Park? What a beautiful place that is. I have not had the privilege of actually personally being there. I have been just miles outside of Yellowstone, but I have reviewed online some of the beautiful sights that you can see at this wonderful national park. When you go to Yellowstone National Park, almost everybody that goes there wants to see one of the most famous sights, which is Old Faithful. Do you remember seeing that? If you've been there, you've seen this, I'm sure. I mean, everybody wants to go see Old Faithful. And people stand around this geyser, and it is kind of a phenomenon of nature that this water shoots up in the air, this boiling water, this hot water shoots up in the air, and you stand back in amazement and wonder and awe. Wow, that is so cool. That is awesome. But very few people ever even think about the source of that water, the source of the geyser. And really, if you did a little investigation, you would realize that actually deep in the earth's surface, there is a boiling cauldron of water which is heated by volcanic heat. You don't see the source, but without the source, there's no beauty. Without the source, there's no wonder. And this is exactly what it's like with the gospel. Maybe you're here tonight and you have actually literally watched somebody's life transformed by the power of the gospel. Maybe you personally have not received it yet, but you know you've watched people's lives changed. So you stand back and wonder and you say, what happened to that person? Wow, that's transforming. Wow, that's miraculous. Don't forget the source. The source is unseen. But the source is very real. What is the source, or should we say, who is the source of the gospel? Well, according to this verse, the source of the gospel is God himself. Now, this is really great to talk about because I'm glad to tell you tonight that the source of the gospel is not the Pope. Can I get an amen? The source of the gospel is not a priest. The source of the gospel is not a preacher. And this is why I can be bold and courageous tonight with what I'm sharing with you, because it's not my message. It's God's message. God is the one who planned the message of salvation, the message that you can be forgiven. We know some of these verses well. John 3:16, how does it start? For God so loved the world. Where did it all start? It started in the heart of God, in the mind of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 tells us that God is wanting and willing that all should be saved. Now, not everybody will be saved, but God wants everyone to be saved. This is God's plan. And actually, the Bible says in Titus chapter 1 verse 2 that God, listen to this, God promised this salvation, are you ready for this? Before the world began. Wow, that's amazing. That even before he created, even before he said, let there be light, in the infinite mind of God, because God is omniscient, we know that he already had planned a way to save fallen man. So when we declare the gospel tonight, when I'm talking about the good news, I'm just telling you the message that is rooted and sourced in God. Which means this, if you reject salvation, the salvation that we're talking about, which is God's message, it is not a rejection of a church or a preacher. It is actually rejection of God. And that is a terrible rejection. You don't want to reject God. You want to receive the truth of God into your life. So it's sourced and rooted in God, and we know that because it was planned by God. He says here it's of God. But he also says it's of Christ, which means Christ is a part of this because Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1 says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God, in his infinite wisdom, decided to send his Son, which is the only way that he could redeem mankind, is to send his Son, the second person of the Trinity, the Jesus incarnate God in human form, born in a manger, lived a sinless life, and ultimately he came with this purpose. He came to die. And so it is of God. In other words, it was planned by God, but it was paid for by his Son, paid for by Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says about this. Isaiah 53, verse 6. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Notice the substitutionary sacrificial death as the payment for our sins. There is no other way, because only God can save you, and God's plan and God's way is through the payment of his Son. Hebrews 2 verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Jesus Christ was the substitute. Jesus Christ paid the debt which we owed. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness." Listen to this. "By his stripes," by whose stripes? The stripes on the back of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ. "By his stripes we are healed." This is the beautiful plan of God, in which God can be just and also the justifier. At the same time, he can say sin has been punished, but he can also release you. And the way he does that is through the substitute of his Son taking your place, taking your punishment, taking your death. This is a wonderful plan. It's a miraculous plan. I love 1 Peter 1 verse 18. "For you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." You're not redeemed with
money.
You're not redeemed by the traditions of men, but rather, he says, "with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish." And probably one of the greatest verses that summarizes the plan of God in redemption and salvation is 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he," that's God, "hath made him," that's Jesus, "for he," God, "made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin," he was perfect, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What a wonderful plan. The plan of salvation sourced and rooted in God himself. And so I just want to say tonight, folks, when you hear something about Jesus and when you hear the message of salvation, this is not just church talk, religious stories. The message of salvation is God's message for the world. And if you have never accepted it, you need to accept it. Do not reject God's message. The gospel is sourced and rooted in God and planned by God and paid for by Jesus Christ. Now go back to verse 16, because we need to notice something else about this good news. Remember, we're talking about the aspects of this good news. First of all, the source of the gospel. Number two, let's notice the strength of the gospel. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," notice this, "for it is" what? "The power." The power of God. Now this word power is a word dunamis. It's the Greek word dunamis. It kind of sounds a little bit like dynamite. Dynamite has some power, doesn't it? I mean, if I were to slide a stick of dynamite under somebody's chair tonight, it would and if it were to go off in the middle of this service, it would rearrange this auditorium and probably rearrange someone's life. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because dynamite changes everything. Dynamite has explosive power. This word dunamis has this idea, natural ability. This is not something that had to be worked up. The gospel message has natural ability, inherent power. Inherent power residing in the very nature of the thing that has power. So what's great to know as a messenger of the gospel tonight, and that's what I am, I'm an evangelist. The word evangelist means gospel messenger. It is great to know that all I have to do is say it. All I have to do is declare it. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to manipulate it. I'm not going to try to persuade you, because you know what? The gospel is powerful enough to save. The gospel has an inherent power. What is the power that the gospel possesses? I think it possesses three powers. First of all, it possesses the strength to convict us. I've actually literally watched this happen in many places where I've been preaching. And as a gospel messenger, this is the message I love to preach. And I've had the privilege of traveling around the world with the express purpose of revealing Christ, sharing Christ and the cross and salvation through Christ alone to many different groups of people. And I've literally watched as the message is being delivered, I can sense and watch the conviction that is coming across people. Different responses on the face, different responses with body language, different responses, sometimes even with emotions, which many times are an expression of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, working on the heart, the soul of an individual. And we see this actually in the book of Acts several times. We see in Acts chapter 2 that they were pricked in their heart. That's conviction. And the Bible says that when the gospel is preached, there's conviction of sin, there's conviction of righteousness, and there's conviction of justice and judgment. And it's important that if you are sensing tonight that as I'm talking about Jesus, and as I'm talking about what God has planned to redeem you, and you are sensing the conviction in your heart, I just want to explain to you that what you are experiencing right now in this very moment is the power of the gospel. It has the power to convict you. And you would be very foolish to refuse the conviction of God, the Holy Spirit, working on your heart through His word tonight. If down in your heart you're thinking, you know what, I need to get saved. I need redemption. I need to be forgiven. Then I'm going to say to you, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Christ even tonight, because God is working on your heart and the message is convicting you. But not only does the message have the strength to convict, but secondly, it has the strength to cover you. There is no other way to be forgiven. There is no way for sins to be covered than through the precious truth that Jesus saves. Only Jesus can cover your sins. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood," listen to this, "even the forgiveness of sins." You know what? God can cover you. God can forgive you. And He forgives you through His Son, who proved that He was righteous by fulfilling all righteousness. He never sinned. He went to the cross and He died and He paid your debt. And the Bible says when you believe on Him, your sin is exchanged for His righteousness. You are justified and you are set free through the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made. This is the only way that your sins can be forgiven, through the power of the gospel. Colossians 1 verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So the gospel has the power to convict. The gospel has the power to cover. And praise God, the gospel has the power to convert. To convert you. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things pass away, all things become new." You know, even the writer of this text had a radical conversion. We could go to many different places in the New Testament where we read about people who were terrible, rotten sinners. Aren't we all rotten sinners? Aren't we all needy of salvation? And we could read about the demoniac of Gadara who was filled with demons, and yet when he trusted in Jesus Christ, his life was radically transformed. We could read about the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And we could read about how this woman who was living with somebody in immorality, she was not living with her own husband. And she was probably, most likely, almost like a prostitute. And yet she met Jesus, she got saved, and her life was radically changed. And even Paul, the writer of this text, was a persecutor of Christians. And God radically changed him into an apostle through salvation in Christ. Do not think this, "I've done too much wrong, I'm too bad of a person, God could never change me." There is no one in this room with any amount of sin in your life that God, through His power and the message of the gospel, cannot totally, radically change. He can change you. I wish we had the time for somebody to stand up and say, "God changed me, let me tell you about it." Can you think about how God changed you? For many of you in this room, you've been saved for many, many years. And it's sometimes hard for us to remember what we used to be like. But now we're Christians. Now we're saints. Now we are living for Jesus Christ because of salvation in Christ alone. And if God can change us, my friend, if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, God can and He will change you. And He changes you through the power of the gospel, the power of this message. It has the power to convict, the power to cover, and the power to convert. And if you've never experienced this dynamite power, I'm just saying to you tonight, now is the accepted time. Believe. Believe on Jesus Christ. Come to Christ by faith. Turn away from everything you are trusting in. Turn away from your sinfulness and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And tonight, you can be radically changed, transformed by the power of the gospel. So we've seen the source of the gospel. Number two, we've seen the strength of the gospel. Number three, let's notice this. Back in the verse, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Number three, we see the scope of the gospel. The scope of the gospel. In other words, who's it for? Who's the gospel reach? Why did God give the message? Who specifically did God give the message to? Well, it tells us in this text, it is to everyone. This is an important statement. Now, this does not mean that everyone has received it, right? This is not teaching universal salvation. This is why we send missionaries to every tribe and tongue and nation. Why? Because we believe that everybody ought to be able to hear. So this text is teaching us that the message of the gospel should be available and can be available. The message is accessible to all people. And I think it's important that we say what the Bible says. God so loved the world. If He doesn't want us to share the gospel with everyone, and if not everyone can receive it, then why would He tell us to go into all the world and preach the gospel? So, the gospel is accessible to all. This does not mean everyone's heard it, and this does not mean everyone has received it, because He does tell us this, to everyone that what? Believeth. To everyone that believeth. So this is kind of the condition. Because though lots of people have heard the gospel, and actually the gospel is accessible to many, many millions of people who have even heard it, you have to believe. Nobody receives it until they believe it. And so it's accessible to all, but it's only accepted by some. And this is why even today in the world, Christians are in the minority. Though the gospel is for everyone, only those who believe are genuine Christians. Listen to what the Bible says about this. John 1, verse 12. "But as many as received Him," and we receive Him through faith, we receive Him through belief. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." John 3, verse 18. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." What's the key? Our faith. It's what we believe. "But he that believeth not is condemned already." John 3, verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life." What's the key? It's our faith. Do not believe the lies of religion, the lies of some traditions, that you can be good enough to get to heaven. Nobody is good enough. You need to have faith in Christ, because He's the only one that was good enough. Trust in Christ alone for your salvation. The gospel is accepted through our faith. 1 John 5, verse 12, "He that hath the Son," and the way you have the Son is through faith, the believing on Him. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And so I need to ask you tonight, have you ever, by faith, and faith is believing in what you haven't seen, it's not necessarily a leap of faith, I do believe it's a logical faith, but you haven't seen it. So you are stepping out by faith and saying, you know what? God tells me in His word that this is His way. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross. Jesus never sinned, went to the cross, died for me, rose again for my salvation, and I simply need to believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I trust in You. Which means you have to stop trusting everything else and start trusting in Christ alone for your salvation. Can I ask you tonight, has that ever happened to you? Have you ever truly believed? If you have not, we're not asking you to join a church. We're not asking you to do a lot of good things to merit eternal life. We're just asking you to have faith. Have faith in God and his Son, the Lord Jesus, that when he died and rose again, he did that for you. And if you will trust in him, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be what? Saved. This is the key. You have to have faith. And this brings me to the last part of the message. Not only do we see the source of the gospel, we see the strength of the gospel, we see the scope of the gospel, but finally, let's notice the sorrow of the gospel. And really, this is all throughout the first chapter of the book of Romans. And I've already said this to you, that rejection of the gospel is rejection of God. And you know what? If you reject the gospel and reject God, there are serious consequences. Serious consequences. This is why I need to talk about the sorrow of the gospel. In verses 21 through 31, we don't have time to read them, but you would notice that the writer describes for us the kind of life and lifestyle and despicable things that happen in the lives of those who reject the gospel, God's grace, and reject God himself. If you reject God, you will have a destitute life. You see, you can have either abundant life or you can have life that is miserable and unsatisfied and destitute. And he tells us in Romans chapter 1 that if you reject God, God allows a lot of things to take place because you're really not having his joy and peace and satisfaction. And this is a terrible thing that happens when people reject God. And not only do people reject God, but countries and civilizations reject God. When you reject God and his grace, you'll be destitute in life. But even worse, notice what it says in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. And I do believe this is in some ways a reference to the second death. We are worthy of death because of our sin. And if you do not accept the death of Christ, then you will have to suffer your own death. So not only will you have a destitute life, but you'll be doomed in your death. And the second death is far worse than the first death. When you are separated from God in hell, in the lake of fire forever, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. I don't like to talk about this, but I have to tell you the truth. If you reject God, his grace, and his gospel, and you die without Jesus Christ, you will suffer for all eternity. That's the truth. I would not be a loving friend of yours to tell you that everyone's going to heaven and it doesn't really matter what you believe. Just follow your own faith and be a good person and everyone's going to heaven. I would not be a faithful friend of yours. That's not loving. That's not the truth. The truth is you need Jesus and Jesus can save you and give an abundant life and eternal life. But if you reject Jesus, you reject God's plan of redemption through his Son, you'll have a destitute life, and you'll be doomed in your death. And you know what, frankly? It's really sad, isn't it? How many people are rejecting the plan of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ? So I'm here to tell you tonight, there's good news. You can be saved. You don't have to be doomed. You can be saved. You don't have to be destitute in life. You can be forgiven. But it's your choice. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? I would love to make you trust Christ, but that would not be appropriate. That wouldn't be genuine salvation. You have to choose. And if God is convicting you in your heart right now, the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I just want to ask you, why not? Why not receive Christ? What are you waiting for? I've often wondered this. Why would people not want to be forgiven? God wants to save you tonight. And for every one of us that has become a Christian, there was a moment in time in our life where we acknowledged our sinfulness. We decided we were going to trust in Jesus Christ alone, his death and his resurrection, and we, from our heart to God, called upon the name of the Lord, and God has radically saved us and changed us. And you know what? God can do that for you tonight. If you're here tonight and you've never done that, you've never received the good news, I'm saying to you, it's the greatest news in all the world. It's rooted and grounded in God himself. It's powerful to save you. It's available to you tonight. Do not reject the gospel. God wants to save you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many tonight would just lift your hand and say, Brother Mark, tonight I am 100% confident that there was a moment in my life that I believed. I have believed the gospel that Christ died and rose again for my salvation. I am confident that I am a genuine Christian, and I want to praise God for that. If you can say that tonight, just lift your hand high in the air. Just lift it up in the air and just praise the Lord for that salvation. Thank you so much. You may put your hands down. Now, there is no fault in not raising your hand unless you're not a genuine Christian. You know, sometimes people just don't want to raise their hand at church. I understand that, but there would be a great fault in rejecting God's message that can save your soul. Now, as I looked across the auditorium, I just happened to notice there are a few people here tonight, and you were not confident to raise your hand, and maybe you're struggling with this. Maybe you have never trusted Christ, or maybe you are doubting or unassured of your salvation. I just want to tell you that God loves you, and we love you. We're trying to help you with the truth. And we would love to have someone talk with you tonight. In just a moment, we'll stand together. And if you did not raise your hand, you could leave your seat and just come and tell Pastor, you know what, I did not raise my hand. God is working in my heart. I don't think I've ever been saved. I need to become a Christian. God is working in my heart. And we will send someone with you to a quiet place where tonight you, by faith alone, from your heart to God, can call upon the name of the Lord and you can be saved. You can be rescued, and you can be rescued tonight. I hope you will be willing to do that. If you did not raise your hand, don't leave here tonight not receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those who did not lift their hand. They know who they are. You're already working in their hearts. I am confident that the power of the gospel is convicting. And Lord, I pray that you will save their soul tonight. Help them to realize they must make the choice to believe. Lord, I pray that you will enable that choice to be made tonight in their heart, that the Spirit of God would draw them to faith and repentance, and that they would be saved tonight. Lord, help them to just leave their seat in this time as we have some music played and a quietness in this moment, that they would just leave their seat and come here and meet Pastor here at the front and just tell him, I need to get saved. I have never believed. Tonight, I want to believe. Lord, I pray that souls will be saved tonight.